Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Nancy, who is here to talk with us about a very fun topic. She is the owner of a brand new, hot off the press copy of What Universe Are You Creating? The 52 card deck and guidebook just put out by Sherry and Ashwini. Welcome, Nancy.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So you were among the lucky few who had first access to it, I understand, up at the workshop at Seattle this weekend.
Yes, yeah, that was just very serendipitous. I attended the workshop with Sherry Ashwini, and at the end, and she had four of these with her.
Wow.
And at the end, someone suggested that we raffle them off, and I was the lucky winner.
Oh, that's so great. I didn't even know that part of the story. That's very fun. So,
yes,
have you had a chance to open it up and try it out?
I have. I opened it up as soon as I got home, and it looked like so much fun. We actually did an example of it. We did a round of it at the workshop, so I knew what to expect.
Okay.
And what it is it's, well, we did the quick draw method. There are actually three ways to play, and this was the quick draw, where you just randomly select one of the 52 cards that are in the deck and read the word on it. And my first word was kindness. And then you read in the book what this about four or five paragraphs about kindness and how that applies to us. And then you answer the question at the bottom, and then you wait and till something arises, and then record and listen around those questions and answers that you provided on the page.
So the cards correspond to places in the book. So you pick in this case the quick draw. You pick a card. It has a word on it. You go to the book. There's some things to look at, to read, to consider there. It gives you some questions, and then you kind of sit with that for a while, see what arises, and then you get to record and listen about it.
Right. And in the introduction, there's a claim that, you know, doing this regularly and doing the exercises will basically transform your life. And I really had an experience of that yesterday. When I picked kindness, I listed all the ways that I could be kind to myself, and how others are kind to me, and just how I could be kind to others. And one of the points that came up for me was to refocus my attention to this here now every time I found myself in conditioning. So there was going to be zero tolerance for conditioning, desires and wants and distractions, that kind of thing. And an example was I went on errands, and I just went to get some photos duplicated, and it was one of those one-stop shopping where there's all kinds of different sections in there. And as I was waiting, I went over to the bakery section, and I just found myself circling around all the sweet stuff thinking, wow, that would be good. I think I'm going to get one of these. But I saw that the mentor was watching, and she asked if getting a donut or a roll would be the kindest thing I could do for myself. And, of course, I had to answer no. And I just kind of laughed out loud.
Yeah.
And I guess what blew me away yesterday was that the presence of the mentor seemed to be there pretty much most of the day for me.
Yes.
And it was assessing, well, what is the kindest thing that I can do for myself?
Yeah. You know, what I love
amazing.
About that, what's that?
That was amazing to me that it was there so many times ask that question.
It is amazing. And what I hear in that is that it's like you, through playing the game, you set the intention. And it's essentially asking for assistance from the mentor for this thing. And so then there you are in the bakery section and seeing all these things, And because you've asked for help, which I feel like is such a critical piece of it, it's not that the mentor is going to push her way in and say, now, Nancy, you know, you really shouldn't be eating those things. But you asked for that assistance. And so then there was just that simple question. And with it, that it sounds like kind of a lightness, a sense of humor. You said you laughed right there as you
right.
heard that.
Well, and this is what I like about this. It's a game. You know,
exactly.
This is fun.
Exactly.
You know, I'm looking forward. This morning I picked a card, and it was attention.
Uh-huh.
And so where do I focus my attention? So this is what the question that I'm asking myself today. Mm. And I'm doing that along with carrying kindness with me from yesterday.
Mm.
So it just feels such a compassionate way to do our training.
Yeah.
It's kind of all there for us.
Exactly.
You know, we don't have to guess about, well, what should I focus today? What should I focus today on? You know,
yeah.
And of course, a lot of times my mind will go blank. And
right,
you know,
because
conditioning
is all too excited either to wipe away, you know, we say, let's see, what should I focus on today? If we're going up to the mind, conditioning is either going to confuse us with 100,000 possibilities or, as you
right.
say, go blank. Practice? Wait, I don't remember what practice is.
Yeah, right.
Or throw
and
standards at us.
Right. And with this, it's like picking a card at random.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, what am I going to get today?
Yeah. It reminds me of the people talk about the quote cards that are also available on the website,
uh-huh.
the Keep It Simple website.
Right.
Of the, I think it's 200-something quotes by Sherry, and just picking one at random each day and just having it there displaying in your home. And this is a really beautiful, it sounds like, in-depth way to have that same principle, that same kind of just letting life arise, whatever it might arise, and then giving us a concrete way to work with that in our recording and listening practice, which has really become the foundational kind of backbone of how we do practice.
Yes, because what I'm seeing is that it's like a training, like an intense training, and
mm-hmm.
what we're trying to do is develop the ability to focus to direct our attention,
yes.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and as they, you know, as it stresses in the book, that's the way from suffering to freedom is directing your attention away from conditioning. The automatic responses and, you know, the reactions that you do. So
yep.
this is just training. And it feels, and you know, I have my list of commitments that I've had for almost, I guess, a couple of years now since our email class, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioning is there to, you know, it can kind of judge me as to whether I'm doing a good job on those and
mm-hmm.
whether I'm performing them or not. And I see this, this doesn't feel like another commitment. It is a training. And
mm-hmm.
what I can see is that it will be able to help me incorporate my commitments into the game.
I was
so,
thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not added on extra.
No, not at all. And
mm-hmm.
and it makes my other commitments come to the forefront as I'm looking at the word and
mm-hmm.
you know
mm-hmm.
how to apply that to my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you've got your daily commitments, and let's say today your word is kindness. Okay. Well, what's a kind way we can work with these commitments?
Exactly.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. you know, I love your point that it's a game. So it's an invitation to play. Because, I mean, life is, conditioning wants to make everything so serious and grim, and we got to keep our commitments because that's what good people do, and we should. And
right.
But it's an invitation to play, to delight. Life is a mystery. There's
exactly.
So we don't know even why we're here or what it's all about. So just that invitation to play with awareness, to play with, you know, to play with our commitments, to play with all of it, to have a lightness about it.
Right. One of the things that I did when I took the cards out of the package and started looking at the book is I could see how, you know, I'm very excited about it. And I came off of a weekend of the at-home retreat and going to Sherry's workshop. And it was like, when we got into the car, we just kind of flew home rather than drove home. You know, and I'm still feeling that energy. But I know there's going to come a time when you know, conditioning is going to, you know, make me kind of forget about it. I'll be too tired, you know, too busy. And so I thought, as soon as I took them out of the box, I don't want to put these back because I know what's going to happen. They'll, you know, they'll just, when I get to that point of being too identified, they'll just sit in a box on a shelf somewhere, and before long, and they'll gather dust because I have forgotten about them, you know. So I found a wooden pencil holder on my desk that's been on there for years, and I just emptied it out because I never really go into it except for maybe a pencil now and then. And I could spread all the cards out, and then I balanced the book on the back and put my recorder inside on top of the cards.
Oh, that's great.
And so it was, and then when I picked up the card, I placed it there face up, so every time I go by there, it's another reminder that, oh, today is kindness, today is attention. So that's gonna be a real helpful for me, not to keep them in the box because I can see the box on the shelf.
And
just not that willingness to go over and pick it up on certain days.
So, it sounds like a potential future Sangha Market product.
Oh, you know, I was thinking that myself. Someone who has those tools to make a nice little box.
That's fun. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for coming up against the hour. Is there anything else you wanted to add about it before we finish?
Well, there are. I just wanted to mention that there. It's such a cute concept. I mean, there are three ways to play the game, and another way is called I Spy Ego. And then there's an interval training. That was the third way to play. So be sure to buy the game so you can figure out, so you can see all the different ways you can play the game.
And on the third way, I missed the first word. What was the third?
Oh, interval training.
Oh, that's great.
Right. So it's, you know, kind of, what is it? Triathlon.
Intervals. That's great.
Right.
Love it. Well, I can't wait. I have not been able to see it yet in person. I've seen it on the website. I think it's actually on the homepage, the landing page of Living Compassion right now, links over to a way to order it. So
wonderful.
Online and get your copy. And it's really exciting. And I'm very, very grateful for your being here and telling us all about it this evening.
Well, thank you for asking. This is just a privilege for me.
Yeah, very fun. All right. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you, Jen. Bye-bye now.
Okay, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Nancy. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm grinning.
I'm grinning, too.
That was so fun. It was so fun for me to hear, you know, to hear Nancy talk about it, her experience of it. It was great. Because, you know, I saw it for the first time like 3 days ago. So I'm pretty lit up about the whole thing. And then to be able to have other people start using it already and have their experience of it is very exciting.
It's very fun. It's very fun. I'm looking forward to ordering my deck of cards to play with.
Yes. And I love Nancy's idea. I'm going to do that, too. I'm going to do the put it all out and leave it out. Probably I have an altar. I guess an awful lot of people do, and I'm going to put it on the altar so that it's always there, so that, as she says, you know, then not only will I see it every day and add that, make that a regular part of my recording and listening practice, but then whatever it is that I'm focusing on for today is going to be there every time I walk by and see it. So those are some good ideas. Because she's right. You know, whatever we put back in the box and put on the shelf, that's, you know, ego's idea of tidiness is to put away anything that would support our practice.
Yeah. Yes, tidying away any awarenesses.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Wonderful. I have some announcements here.
All right.
Exposing the Big Bamboozle, our next email class begins August 1st.
Yes, it does.
This class is an invitation to pull apart the machinery of the conditioned process.
It's true.
Yeah, not subtle, is it?
No.
The approach we're going to take. Neither conditioning nor the approach.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it is that way. I mean, every class is going to be an aspect of what it does to us, and we're going to get in depth with it. So by the time we finish, there's going to be no more mystery about how it's done to us.
Great. Mm-hmm. And there is one more chance this year to take the new Eightfold Path Retreat. The last time this retreat will be offered this season is September 1st through 6th in Pennsylvania.
That's right. And, you know, two other things about that. When we're back there doing that retreat, we have a one-day workshop in Dayton, Ohio, and we have an afternoon workshop in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So if anybody's in those areas and can't make it all the way to the retreat or for the whole retreat, they can come and see us for a one-day.
Great. Yeah, I think Harrisburg has been missing you for a couple of years.
Yes, I've been missing Harrisburg. So yeah. I'm glad I'm going to get back there again.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And as we just heard from Jen and Nancy, the recording and listening game is here now.
Mm-hmm.
The homepage at livingcompassion.org is now an introduction to the new What Universe Are You Creating? Guidebook and game.
Yep.
Yes.
For people who have been around practice for a while, you'll recognize the cover of it because it was a poster that came out of an email class that we did a few years ago.
Oh.
So it'll be familiar.
Oh, that's fascinating. I didn't catch that. I'll have to look again.
Yeah.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events. A couple of reminders. To make Gas Show, to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry, press *6 and then 1. And I see that folks have already done that. And one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And let's get started.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Holly from Australia.
No.
Yes.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Do you know what I'm looking at right now as I hear your voice? I bet you do know what I'm looking at right now. It sits on my windowsill. Right,
it's a boomerang.
It's a boomerang.
Oh, that's so cool. You got that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I think about you every time I look at it.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah. How have you been?
Oh, I've had one of the busiest years of my life.
Is that a good thing?
It is a good thing. It's been really... I've got a cold at the moment, so I'm sounding a bit nasal. But it's been really intense and... rewarding. Oh, sorry?
Growthful.
Oh, yeah. It's been huge. And I'm ringing... my topic is something that's going on right now, but I'm just so stoked to be talking to you. It's kind of gone out the window. I'm like, wow, this is great to connect again because... school slowed down a little bit lately, so I've had more time to do practice stuff.
Uh-huh.
I've been sitting every day all year, but lately I've been able to pick up the recording and listening again, as well as been listening to the radio shows. And that's just been really good because my topic is that I've been single a really long time now, and I've been seeing someone for a few months, and it's just fallen apart because primarily because of the whole baby thing, because I'm 38 now, and I actually want to do that at some point before I can't anymore. And this person, when we started dating, I sort of shared where I was at with all that. Not in a demanding sense, but, you know, is that part of your vision too? Because that's where I'm heading. And he was all like, yeah, yeah. And then a few months down the track, he's all like, because he's 30 and I'm 38. And he's all, oh, actually, I don't know if I will be ready in a couple of years because he's so focused on the career and la, la, la. And we broke up and he was just really clear that he's not ready, and he thought he does want to do that, but and I just feel a lot of anger and rejection and unforgiveness and hurt, and I've been doing some recording and listening around my very strong feelings, and it's been really helpful. It actually has really saved me some from some mental pickles, but I'm just really, I guess I'm having a lot of content around that I once again chose, you know, I've done so much work on myself, I've done this, I've come so far, and I got involved with someone who's quite similar in a way to a lot of the other guys I was involved with, in a way that they don't really want to commit in the end, or they're really scared, and I feel really rejected and abandoned, and so I think there's a lot of self-hate going into how I've made another mistake and what does that mean? Am I going to keep doing this and I'll never meet anyone? And it's been really unpleasant. And there's another part of me, the conscious compassion awareness, that can see actually that I've learnt things even more deeper, because it's that whole thing, this is sort of the hole in the road that I see and I somehow fall in. But I do, like, it's, I stayed with this person for 3 months. I didn't stay in for another 3 years, hoping that they would change their mind like I've done before. So
that's
the kind of nutshell.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the first part of it for me is, just to underline the recording and listening piece of it, what a relief it is to have the ability to express all of that fully anytime you want or need to, because our friends and family, no matter how much they love us, after a while, enough is enough. And yet their inability to hear it is often not on the same schedule as our need to express it. So for you to really say what's going on with you and then be able to hear her and feel sympathy for her disappointment and, the loss and the fear and the all that comes up with her about this issue and relationship and all of that. So that's one piece of it, right? And I hope, too, that it's helping you to hear, to separate out that the disappointment and just the disappointment, you know, the hope that this is the one and this will be all of the things that you hope for your life coming together in one place. You know, you've got the partner, you've got... You can have the baby, all of that, and separate that from the self-hate that wants to come in and torture you about your life circumstances. Because those two really don't have anything to do with each other, except self-hate will use any painful life circumstance to try to instigate as much suffering as possible. So again,
it really
save
kind of
her
got
from
me
that.
With that one. It just knows how to. I mean, that's my area.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Knows where every button is and exactly how hard to push it and when.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, to be able to be in conversation with her, to be in relationship with her, such that she's protected from that self-hatred.
Uh-huh, right, totally, because it is relentless and it will...
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting to watch it with my sub-personalities, because I've got one very primary, it's the sad princess. And she's... I can't indulge her, but I also can't... When I self-hate will just give her... Like, I recognize her and then self-hate will kind of come in and give her such a hard time... just a brutal being.
Yes.
And try and get rid of her, but she's there. I mean, she's also very melodramatic and romantic, and there's other things that don't, you know, there's the other side of what happens with her as well.
But yes, and
I guess that's why it can start to get a little bit confused.
Well, except what I'm hearing don't get talked into the fact that you're confused, because I'm not hearing that. What you're practicing is staying in the middle, right? So
yeah.
you can watch her come up, and yeah, she's melodramatic and romantic and all of those. Well, okay, that's how she feels. So you want her to be able to feel what she feels. You don't want to indulge her to the point that everybody else suffers over it.
Yeah, and I just also know that the way she speaks, I know it's just not true. What she's saying, it's actually not based in reality.
That
I'm trying to actually listen to her and not believe what she's saying, but to be present and give her what she needs.
Yes.
And yet there's so much shock sometimes about what she's actually saying that that's, I think, where the self-hate can kind of come in under the door.
Yes.
Or
well,
I just reject her.
Yes. Well, and again, the recording and listening can serve you, because she can talk, right? She can speak. But instead of you getting caught up in what she's saying, so she finishes what she says, you take, a few nice long deep breaths, and then you listen to what she says.
Yeah.
And listening to it in that way is very different. There's much less chance of getting identified with her if you're listening to it on the recorder. If you're listening inside your head, identifying with her gets to be a real possibility, and that's scary. So there's the temptation to just want to shut her down so you don't get identified with her. But that little recording tool helps us get all of that. It's all expressed. It's all out there. We get to listen from a stepped back place, and we realize, yeah, she's a little over the top with that. And yet, that's her experience.
It's interesting, actually, because she, in my recording and listening, she doesn't make an appearance. When I'm doing the recording and listening, it's just about how I'm feeling, or that I'm really angry, or that I'm feeling really hurt, and then there's the mentor that actually has so much wisdom, but some reason thus far, I'm not bringing her to that practice. I don't know why, but now I will.
Now you will, exactly. I mean,
I think I feel so much shame that she even exists, that I just don't, I've sort of practiced in my head trying to deal with her, but it does just start getting confusing because, yeah, okay.
That's right. And what I hope you heard in this conversation is that you're not getting identified with her. You're getting identified with someone who is ashamed of her or embarrassed.
Yeah, right.
And so that's the personality, the next one to deal with, right? That's so you want to get it, let her talk, not that her point of view is real or valid, but it is her point of view. So you listen to her in the same way. So there's the tragic romantic, and you listen to her, and then there's the one who's embarrassed that she exists, and you listen to her, and you listen to, you listen to all of them, but you're listening from that disidentified place, and what you're getting is the wisdom of the mentor who can say, yeah, well, everybody has their point of view, and you don't need to buy into it. You don't need to believe it. You can be compassionate without getting hooked, or whatever the mentor has to tell the one who's practicing.
Because
that's who you are.
The person then is not necessarily self-hate. It's about how it's actually, what it's actually saying is how I can tell that ashamed, embarrassed person.
Yeah, which can create an opening for self-hatred, right? Because now there really is something wrong with you that you feel this way, and there the door opens for self-hatred to come in. And what we're practicing is, no, everybody gets to feel how they feel and have the life experience they have, and we have compassion for all of it. It doesn't mean we're going to believe it. It doesn't mean we're going to act on it. It doesn't mean we're going to take it personally. It just means we're going to listen with compassion and accept everybody as they are.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right.
Thank you so much. That's very clarifying for me, actually.
Good.
That's very helpful. And hi to everybody.
Oh, and I'm sure people are smiling and saying hi right on back. So.
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm existing and I'm practicing.
Good, good, good.
And I'm taking on a big life and it's mostly good.
All right. All right. Well, it's great
Thank
to hear
you so
your
much,
voice.
Sherry.
Stay
and
in
Michael.
Touch, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
See
Holly.
You. Bye.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Holly. It's great to hear from Down Under. Everybody
uh-huh.
practicing. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Siobhan.
Siobhan, how are you doing?
Okay. Conditioning just hates this whole thing.
Oh, you know it does.
Yeah, press star 6, and it was just really having a connection.
Yeah.
What?
Why are you Why are you doing that? What's the matter with you? Hang up. It's not too late. Hang up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's part of me that's just like, you know, there's so much shame associated with what's going on with me and all of this stuff, and it's just like, you know, that part of me that wants to reach out and get some clarity on this is stronger than that right now.
Yes.
But it's making noise.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as you know, I know you know, but it's always good that we remind ourselves that's how it does what it does to us. If it can get us to be ashamed and embarrassed and taking it personally, so it gets us to be ashamed because it is in our lives. That's basically what it comes down to. So we should be embarrassed and ashamed. We should take it personally. We should believe that it has something to do with us, and therefore we hide it. And, you know, that's how we create a snug place in our lives for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then suffering.
And then, oh, my God. I mean, once you invite the devil in to share your house, you know, it's not going to get any better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have been on a 3-week roller coaster since returning home from the monastery, and I had a couple of months of consistency before I came to the monastery with not binging on food, and then had a wonderful experience at the monastery of feeling better physically than I have in a long time, you know, just. Really being engaged in life, and then that's not been my experience since I've been home. And
right, so it's at least twofold, isn't it? Well, manyfold, I would guess. So first of all, you don't have access to all of the tortures and temptations that you have in regular life, right?
Right.
So you're eating really well and drinking clean water and sleeping well, probably, or as well as you can, and being physically active during the day. So the whole system just starts feeling lighter and cleaner and healthier and all of those kinds of things, right? And there's a respite from the constant, well, Nancy mentioned it earlier, you know, you walk past the bakery section of the store and, you know, it starts in, it starts its campaign, and it knows what to say and how to work on us and all of that. So there you are, 2 months of sobriety, and mm-hmm. And then a month of really super clean living, and then there it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, just extremely impulsive behavior, and you know, just these kind of wide swings.
Yeah, it can make a person feel kind of crazy, can't it?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. That's how I've been feeling. Is just you know, like I feel like I'm on steady ground and then I'm not at all, and you know, then I feel like I kind of get back to steady and then not in ways that I say that are like really impulsive for me, where it's sort of like I start out with my intentions and. You know, I'm listening to what I want, and then all of a sudden just, you know, like the gutter ball just bonk in the gutter.
Yeah. And the karmic conditioning's ability to render us unconscious is really impressive. Right? So until somebody goes up against it the way you're going up against it, that kind of statement can seem a little out there. Right? It makes you go unconscious. And when we're just going around in daily life, it's difficult for people to realize that that actually is what's going on with them, because during the periods of time that we're unconscious, we don't know that we're unconscious. Right?
Right.
But when you're attempting to do something that requires constant consciousness, then the times that we're unconscious get pretty glaring, because
yes.
we do things that we wouldn't do if we were conscious. So the evidence is compelling. I actually wasn't there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all what I'm seeing is that, like, yesterday was the kind of like hungry ghost seeker for, quote, help, on the internet, or, you know, is there a different author that I can read, you know, somebody that would help me with my problem.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm feeling is that I'm so sick of identifying with someone who has this problem that, you know, that a lot of energy goes to. If
yes.
it's not an actual acting out, it's in the, how can we best work with this problem?
Boy, that is so powerful. To realize that the seeking a solution to this problem is just the other side of indulging or having or suffering with the problem.
Yes.
It's not right. It's not the way out. It's actually the way in.
Right. Yeah. That's the productive side of the problem.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's as long as I am in that. Okay. So again, dieting is the one so many people are familiar with. You know. So I've gained weight. So I'm going to go on a diet, and I'm enthusiastic, and I can do this, and 3 days later, I'm eating, and then I come to again, and okay, I'm gonna do something about. I'm gonna right, and to step back and realize that that's one thing, that's one process. It's not two processes; it's one
right.
process. Yeah,
right.
That's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah, and so and then also, you know, kind of seeing last week how much of, quote, my identity is revolves around, you know, having this issue. It permeates so much of
yes.
of my life.
Yes. Well, it is the ego identity.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's difficult for us. Again, that's one of those things that this is subtle practice, because when I look at myself, it feels like I'm me and this is my life. So now I'm going to try to parse out what's what in my life. But what you're looking at is really seeing the difference between authenticity or authentic nature or the intelligence that animates, conscious awareness, and ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And all of that compulsive behaviors and shame and embarrassment and colluding, and that's all ego.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And to realize how much ego is and has been controlling my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading When You're Falling Dive last night, and when you made reference to the fact that it's going to get intense, you know, when you really go up against that, and the image that comes to mind is, you know, I'm treading water and then something keeps yanking me underneath.
Yes.
You know, and,
yeah,
and holding me underneath.
I'm pushing on the top of your head.
Yeah, and then I come up and I'm sputtering, and I'm it literally feels like that.
Yes.
Right
yes.
now.
Yes, it does. So the image of the I think it's in the There's Nothing Wrong With You, where the alcoholic has to put the bottle on the table and sit there with that bottle on the table until I've proved to myself I'm not going to drink it. I'm not. And everything has happened to convince me that I'm going to, and I'm not going to. Now, if we could do that, of course, say in the course of a night, it'd mm-hmm. be great. But the fact of the matter is, we have to sit at that table facing that bottle over and over and over again until we cannot be fooled by the process showing up in any form. Yeah? So a friend, you know, I meet a friend for tea and, in fact, we're drinking wine. Or, you know, somebody sends me a bottle of expensive scotch for my birthday. Or so it's showing up everywhere, and I'm having to sit still with that temptation, with that craving, with that desire for ego to gain the upper hand once again.
Yeah, and I think that relative to this, the alcohol was a breeze because somehow there seems to be way more food cues out there.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And the way it often wins with people is not that we don't want to have to go through what's required to get to the other side of this. It would tell us we should be able to do this. If you were the right person, it would be easier. You know, there mm-hmm. must be something wrong with you. This is hopeless. Why don't you just give up, right? Mm-hmm. And what we have to realize is I'm going to have to do this until the temptation is completely worn away. And that takes, the requirement there is humility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, of course, what makes it a spiritual process. Because what we are, by choosing the humility that's required to come back again and again and again and say, it got me. You know, I fell for it. This is what I did. That's how the ego is worn away. That's how it loses its ability to control us, because we're not choosing it.
Without falling into the shame.
No shame. That's right. No self-hatred. Yep. Just I'm building these muscles. I haven't. You know. Again, without shame or self-hatred, but I've indulged ego for this lifetime, and God only knows how many lifetimes throughout time. Ego has called the shots. Ego has been indulged. And now mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that. And it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be overnight, but that's my commitment. And so I think it's called a Daruma doll in Japan, where, you 8 times down, 9 times up is the... It's weighted in the bottom, and you knock it over mm-hmm. and it stands back up. You knock it over and it stands back up. And it's a symbol in Zen awareness practice for how we have to be in order to do this. No matter how many times we're knocked down, we get back up again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the getting back up that becomes the focus. Right? Ego wants us to focus on the being knocked down. But we focus on the getting back up.
So, part of me was hoping that there's a way of turning the attention away from the entire thing. This is not the focus, like the focus of my practice kind of thing.
That's right. With the understanding that you're going to find every door and window that it creeps in through.
Yeah.
Right? So that's, and that's the kind of the samurai aspect of Zen, right? So you're going to get up every morning, not even with the hope that this is today is going to be different, but with the determination that today you're going to focus on whatever it is that you're going to focus on. So mm-hmm. is it unconditional love? Is it presence? Is it awareness, attention, on kindness, on whatever it is that you're going to focus on, and that's what you're going to do. You're going to constantly come back to the breath and that focus. Come back to the breath, and it'll get you.
Yeah.
And as soon as it does, you say, okay, I see how that happened. And you come right back to your focus.
Mm-hmm.
Never indulge the conversation, right? That's the one I've been yelling at people lately. Never indulge the conversation. You know, there is no future. There is no past. This doesn't mean anything. What I'm focusing on, I mean, mine is unconditional love. So what I'm focusing on is unconditional love. Everything else is irrelevant.
Okay. So I was just on my phone ordering my book and cards when Jen was talking to Nancy. So,
okay. Yeah. And that's what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we stay in touch, and we get all the support that we can get. And the support is, this is what I'm focusing on. This is because this is the way to end the suffering of that human being, right?
Mm-hmm.
She suffered with that all of this stuff for at least a lifetime. My commitment is to getting her out of that suffering.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. That's helpful. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You are so very welcome. You'll stay in touch, I know.
Hi to everyone on the porch.
Okay.
I miss
yeah. All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks, Michael.
Uh-huh.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Siobhan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And that was just a super helpful conversation, Sherry. It's great.
Well, yes. You know, Michael, that dropped in partway through because whatever the issue is, we're all in exactly the same place, right?
Yeah.
If there's no dramatic content, if it's just simply, you know, I'm tortured that I'm not practicing enough, or I've got too much to do, or I'm not a good enough parent, or I should have taken better care of my parents, or, you know, whatever it's torturing us with, the commitment has to be the same, and the process is exactly the same. It wants to isolate us. It wants us to feel embarrassed and ashamed, and that we deserve the hatred that it's heaping on us. And we just got to say, no, that this human being, yeah, I'm going to save this human being, and the way to do that is I'm going to keep bringing my attention back to this here now. Loving kindness, compassion, peace, joy, kindness, acceptance. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And what you're saying reminds me of something I saw recently, and that is that torture is torture is torture is torture. Doesn't matter
yes.
the content.
It doesn't. And comparing mine to yours or,
yeah.
you know, we are all engaged in the same practice to reach freedom and to end our the tyranny of ego. It's
yes.
it's the same for all of us. It's universal. Yeah.
Go team. All of us together.
Go team. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Thank God we can do it together, huh?
Yes. Yes. Amen to that. We're going to hear from our coaches program, Sherry, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Wow. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, my God. This is so great. I wasn't expecting it. This is Isolta from Lima.
How are you?
I'm doing amazingly. My God, everybody says that, and everybody says that, everybody says that, but it's amazing. It's so beautiful.
Oh, I'm so glad. Tell us a little, give us some details.
I'm so glad. I'll tell you. Well, I don't have a specific question, but I just wanted to tell you that I discovered this practice maybe less than a year ago, and that I've never been happier in my life. I can't believe it. I'm so immensely thankful. And you know that this week I lost my recorder for 2 days, and when I got another one, I sorted everything out. But of course, it took more or less 2 or 3 days to have everything back in place.
Uh-huh.
It helped me realize how protected I am by all this, you know, because I listen to the podcast, I talk to the mentor anytime I want. It's so beautiful and amazing. Ah, it's so fabulous. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. You are so very, very welcome. I am glad. That's how it's supposed to work, huh?
Exactly. And I'm also doing, I have a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous coach. And this is also why I don't have any specific question, because I have a fabulous coach. I have the stop, drop, and text. And, you know, I'm covered all over. I'm in a cocoon of practice.
Isn't that great? Well, you don't have to have a question. You can call me anytime you want and just tell me how fabulously your practice is going. I'm completely open to that experience. Love to hear it.
Now a question came up. Can I
say it again?
A question came up, though.
Aha! Uh-huh. Oh, very good. What's that?
A super quick one. I was listening to your direction to try to spread practice throughout the day.
Uh-huh.
I usually just sit in the morning. And then, well, record and listen a lot. But I would really like to sit a little bit after lunch at work, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And
yes.
I have a place to do it at work, and nobody would care. Everybody would be pleased. And still, I always, always, always fall for some stupid excuse and never do it. And I've been trying for months. And every time I record that I want to do it, I commit and I want to do it, I tell my colleagues that I'm going to do it, I never do it. Any suggestions?
Well, yes, I would continue in exactly that vein. And because every time you don't do it, with the level of commitment that you have, you become more determined to do it. And what you're experiencing in this process is how relentlessly egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate works to control us and keep us from doing what we choose to do from the heart. So your resolve is strengthening, and one of these days it'll all come together and you'll do it and you'll realize that you have won.
Wow.
And it has lost.
Wow, as simple as that. How great. Yeah.
Yes, it really is that simple, because what you're getting a chance to watch is how it does what it does. And when you finally move through and don't fall for the, so give up, why don't you just quit, you're never going to do it, see, you haven't done it, say, yeah, okay, all right, I see that. And this is what I'm going to do. And this is, maybe I won't do it today. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I'll do it the next day. But here's what you can know. I will do it. And
he
that kind of resolve.
He's in front of the bottle. Ah, sorry.
Say that again?
It's similar to what we were saying to a previous caller of the person sitting in front of a bottle. Kind of.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that's what we're learning to trust. I can trust myself. I will not give up. I will come through. I will do this. I am determined, and I will do it. Is it big? Is it hard? Is this, as Jeffrey said on the little advertisement, is it a worthy opponent? Absolutely. But I will triumph because I have all of life on my side, and what we're doing is wearing down, wearing away, seeing through something that wants to be separate from life. And anything that wants to be separate from life is not nearly as powerful as life, no matter how it seems. So we are bound to be successful.
How beautiful. It's amazing. Yeah. The moment, it's about not doubting that I will be successful, right?
Yes. Yes. Yes, and you will. You know that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, how fabulous. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. Thank you for calling in. Do it again, okay?
I will. And a big hug to Michael and to everybody there. Thank you to everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Oh, wait. What time is it where you are?
I'm here.
What time is it where you are?
Nothing exciting. Very similar to there. It's 7 o'clock.
Seven in the evening.
In the
okay.
evening, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
But
well,
it's
then.
This makes it interesting.
That's it. It's a different season. The time is not that different. Very good. All right. Well, we'll think of you down there in having a winter evening.
This is what I'm doing, exactly.
All right.
Thank
good night.
So
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us. Well, that was a fun conversation.
Yeah. Isn't that? Yeah. I mean, we've heard from just this very evening, Australia and Peru.
Wonderful. So
how lucky
exciting.
We are.
Yeah, I got a big grin on my face. It's great.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Who else have we got, Michael?
Let's see. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
It's Diane calling from Santa Rosa.
Well,
hello.
How are you?
I'm great. It was just great to hear the enthusiasm. I just feel very much the same and very, very grateful and and glad. I think it's my first time calling to Open Air. I've called to the email class radio show, but it's my first time calling on Open Air. So,
well, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I think I'm making a commitment to my schedule changed, so now I can be available every Tuesday to listen and call, and it's so. Conditioning so doesn't want me to call and to press *6. I mean, as someone has said earlier today, it's really not okay. So I think I'm going to keep doing it, even if it is to say I don't have anything to say today.
Yeah. Well, people who are kind of new to practice or, you know, are involved with somebody who's in practice or whatever, you know, what is all this stuff about conditioning or ego? Or, come on, really, you people are over the top. But you get on the phone, first of all, try to call, and then try to hit that button, and it's an immediate experience of what ego and resistance is, isn't it?
Yes, it's phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, right there could be, there's enough work to do for a lifetime.
yes, just with that. So to sense from that how controlled we are all the time by that, you know, no, I don't want to, or don't say that, or don't do that, or you don't want to do that. No, don't. And we think it's us making those decisions, and it's not. So having a chance to realize that and get really clear about that is powerful.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I also want to take a minute to just, you know, thank, I was at the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, and it was such an amazing experience. And I feel such gratitude, not only for all the facilitators, for the place, for a million things, but also for all the participants. And I wanted to make sure to say that, because I'm still so moved by everything that I got to be a part of during that week. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
It's such a strong experience of Sangha, isn't it?
It really is. It really, really is.
Everybody, first of all, that we're all going through the same thing. The content is a little bit different, but not much. We're all so much an experience of we're all in this together. And then everybody's role in being there for one another as we take steps along the path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, I was a bit worried, or something was worried about the return, and it's not as terrible as I thought it would be. So it's actually all that was taught and all the practice that I've done. I'm also relatively new to practice. It's only been a year, but it's okay. Life is really alive. I do have moments of missing the monastery and the environment that is so supportive of practice. But it's good to know that this sangha and this sangha has millions of ways of support, of creating a monastery environment all over the place. So I feel very, very, very grateful for that.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Because truly, you know, what we're doing is really powerful work. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know about other practices, but I do know in our practice, there's just no support in it for the ego. So, you know, what we're taking on is monumental. And having the ability to support one another through it, and having all of these different ways of offering support and being supported is critical for us.
Yes.
So it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's really amazing what you've created. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, what we've all created. what we create together together every day. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Good thing. Well, and thank you. Go ahead.
Can I just say one thing? I just wanted to say that I was reading the end of the book, of your book called The Key, last night, and there was something in it about shifting from saying I can't to saying I won't, and then saying I'm choosing not to, or something like that.
Yes.
And I played with it for three things that have been I can't, and one of them was I can't arrive to work on time.
And
I did arrive at work on time this morning.
Good for you.
I was so excited that, you know, about the power of this this shift, and I can see, you know, saying this morning I am choosing to go to work on time today was a different thing than saying I can't get to work on time.
Yes, so. And it points at something so important in practice, because I can't is such a little kid place.
Oh, it is.
Right? It's, I can't, and I'm powerless, and I can't. And so, you know, then we take that, I won't get to work on time. It's like, whoa. I'm not sure I want to make that statement. And then when we get to, I choose not to get to work on time, it's no. I am not, that is not what I want to do. So that movement from I can't into really taking responsibility for our lives and ourselves and our choices, yes, mm-hmm. it's a simple little exercise, but it's life-changing, isn't it?
It really is. I can't wait to apply it to other things.
Yes, all sorts of things. All sorts of things. Yeah. Oh, that's a great reminder. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, everybody.
Talk to you soon, I hope.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Diane. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're kind of at that in-between place. We're about 4 minutes to the hour.
Maybe Susan's out there. We better find out, Michael.
Okay, I'm going to bring on another caller here.
Yeah, and we'll talk. We'll go fast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Hey, Mary Jane. Long time no here. How are you doing?
I know. Oh, my gosh. I'm great, and I'm feeling an undercurrent of, my daughter's one, so she's and she's learning the sign for meditation, so I let her know when I'm going to do my meditation, and it's quiet time. So
wow. Wow, it goes right on by, doesn't it, that old time?
I know. I don't know, I feel like I'm challenged on so many fronts, I don't really know what to ask.
Let me ask you this. Are you gals doing recording and listening?
Yes. Yeah, I'm doing recording and listening. I'm doing it, I always do it in the context of making a change for good.
Uh-huh.
So I do that over and over again.
But is she helping you? Are you doing it together? That's what I'm curious about.
Oh, no, we haven't really done it together. I haven't really thought about that.
It can be kind of fun.
Yeah. So kind of getting her assistance with, or just recording. Sometimes I record things for her.
Well, sometimes just including her in the process. You know, you're talking about your process, and she's there, and she's listening. And I'm convinced, of course, that the energy of that will affect her, will influence her. And being with her sometimes, being with little people like that, it brings us a perspective. That when we bring conscious awareness to that perspective and our practice, it can be big.
And I know I've been working with my awareness coach on just ways. I think sometimes I usually got a booster shot by like trying to go to a retreat, you know, at least twice a year, and I haven't been to the monastery in a year now. I'm so grateful for these remote opportunities to stay engaged, because I think I think the area where I've had the hardest time, where the monastery really helps, is with the sitting meditation. Just that discipline of getting in the habit of sitting, I just think that helped me so much with everything.
Mm-hmm. Do you do the virtual meditation groups ever?
I did it yesterday for the first time. So,
oh, good.
So that was great. And yeah, I think I'm enjoying all of the, like, stop, drop, and text helped me a lot. And then, you know, it's a little more scattershot. I feel like my practice is a little more, my concentration, like I do a little here, a little there. But I don't know if I feel like I'm getting in a groove or momentum, and maybe that's just a story.
I think so. I think okay. at this time of motherhood, you know, that you are that consistent with practice, I think you need to give yourself a lot of medals.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Don't
yeah.
you really?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I, you know, maybe because she is a year, and I'm thinking about, okay, where am I? You know, those conditioning can really get you with those big life questions, like where are you in your life? And
Yep. Okay. Which is why focusing the attention on all you are doing, how you're able to continue to bring your life into practice, even with these kinds of very cute distractions, I think it'd be very great kindness to the human.
Yeah. I think that's the key to my practice right now, is just to really focus on whatever is.
Yes, being present with what is.
And I mean, to be grateful for the, you know, if I take a 20-minute, you know, just to be grateful for the little things that going well in life.
Yes. No focus on what's not there, no focus on what's not working, but just to acknowledge that this is a big time in a life. There's sometimes, you know, most of us feel like our lives are big all the time. There are some times that are bigger than others. And that kind of life change and having somebody else in your life like that whose needs come first, just focusing on all of the ways that you can get the minute here, the little recording in there, you can listen for this, you can do the stop, drop, and text, you can read a peace quote, you can, whatever it is, that's where the focus is.
Okay. Well, and I'd like to check in more often, so I'll to do that too.
Good.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. It's great to hear your voice.
Okay.
Both of you. Yeah. All right. Good night, Mary Jane.
Well, good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. And I am seriously lit up, Sherry, after the show.
I am too, Michael.
Yeah,
it's so fun,
great.
Isn't it?
Very great.
All right, talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, good night.
Good night.